And that is welcome to episode part two of the Walker, Texas
Ranger.
If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, wait a second, that's a weird way to start a podcast episode, go back and listen to episode one, part one.
Yeah, you don't jump into an episode that says it's a part two.
No, go back and listen to episode one.
Go back and listen. Yeah, good point.
And then, like, just keep going till you get back here.
Yeah, why not just start from the very beginning?
So what are you
going
to want to do?
When did I jump on? Because that's, like, the start, right?
I believe your first episode was Batman, or am I wrong?
No, it was Batman.
What was the number? Like,
it was very special to me.
80-something, maybe? 80-something. Yeah, check around there.
Start there.
Come on, it's all good.
Episode one of the podcast.
He says while, like, holding himself.
Stuff it.
Farpoint, I believe it was called. Star Trek Farpoint Part 1 and 2. Was that what the episode was
You've done
called?
A double parter in the past.
We did a double parter in the first episode of Test Pilot.
Hell yeah, baby. That's how you started off.
Hell yeah, motherfucker. So,
real bad time for me.
Welcome to this episode. Welcome back. This is part two of the Walker, Texas Ranger Chronicles.
Did you miss me?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
I'm back.
This is on me because I didn't lock the door, but I did think that Dewey might come back.
I know where to pick locks.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, God, maybe I did lock the door.
I've.
Did you see Dewey out there?
Dewey?
Okay, no, he's not around yet.
Just
I've
quickly.
Been leaving out cat biscuits.
That's good. To be honest, that's the best he's eaten for months.
Well, someone's eating them.
Normally, I eat coon jerky.
What?
Jesus Christ.
It's good to see you again, man. I actually did miss you for a little while there.
He cried.
I cried. It was like a weird meeting because when we first met each other, like, we did not get on at all. Like, it sounded very civil between us, but after the recording, you and me,
you've got soft hands.
Yeah. And you kept saying that, and I got furious, and I threw down. You kept saying that
getting punched by a pillow.
That's what you said, and I remember. Yeah. I actually do remember getting quite agitated at that, and I'm actually getting hot under the collar right now.
I have to say that he did actually continuously stomp on my dog's stairs until they broke.
Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Welcome back to Test Pilot. LJ, did you have something to say? So, yeah, we have to jump. We got to jump back straight back into this A-plot, and where we've just left it this is probably an hour ago. Walker's just lost his partner. He doesn't care that much, but he has lost his partner. And Walker doesn't work alone. And so I think...
Yeah, he's one of the rare characters that isn't immediately against a new partner. It's like he's sort of... He's concerned about his credentials, but that's fair.
Yeah.
You know, they get shot at daily and they need to be prepared to travel. Because if they need to go over the border, it's time.
But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's one of the few things I enjoyed other than... how hot the Robin character was.
Right.
Was that he wasn't playing to the typical that we see every single time of this guy being like, no, I work alone. And blah, right. Blah. He was like, yeah, cool new partner. I'm going to rag on him a bit.
Because Norris is Cordell is a hard ass, but he doesn't have to act like a hard ass.
Yeah. He's not like really like beating a dead horse with the character.
They were like, Cordell, you got to solve these bank robberies. He's like, God damn it. I've told you, I don't work alone. I will sit at this desk until you get me a new partner.
No. What's that, Cordell? No.
So let's quickly jump into the grabbing of the new the Robin character.
What's his name?
Sexy Robin.
What's Sexy Robin's name?
His name's Jimmy something. I can't remember his last name.
Because, oh, it's like Tivet.
Yeah, because that's the thing.
Tivet or something.
Walker keeps messing it up on purpose throughout the whole episode.
It's a cheeky Raz.
Yeah, at one point he even goes, he's never going to get that right.
Like, yeah. Good shit. But we need to meet him. And the natural way for this character to be introduced is for some reason CD does it, I guess. CD comes to him. He's like, God damn it, I've got you, your new partner.
CD, you don't work for the force anymore.
You're actually, I think, a bar owner and a writer.
You have no right.
Do that shit?
He does. Yeah, no, but then he hangs out in the
precinct.
In the precinct.
It's like once a ranger, always a ranger, I guess. Like, ride or die, bad boys for life.
So, yeah, so CD's sort of telling him he knows a guy that he's been mentoring. He was like a
mentoring
football
star. For what? He owns a bar and writes advice columns. Where does he have time to mentor cops?
He was a Texas Ranger. Put some respect on the man. Yeah. Like, you don't know what shit that him and Chuck have been. Like, Cordell's clearly been on the force for years.
He's a Renaissance man. He can do everything.
And until he took an arrow, a bullet to the knee, you know?
True.
Like,
true. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said this about CD because he has a mentor. He wants his mentor to be the partner of
mentee,
Cordell.
Mentee, you freak.
He has a mentee. He wants his mentee to be the partner of Chuck Norris / Cordell Walker, Texas Ranger.
There it is. We got there.
They go to a local pool.
I know, it was like specifically a cop pool. A cop pool. Because, yeah, there's like just cops walking around. Yeah.
Hey, where's he hanging out?
Blue Boys in Blue?
Yeah.
At the cop pool? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I go there often. So they go to the cop pool.
You know, the secret cop waterhole. Nice.
They go to the cop pool and he comes out of the pool and honestly, the guy is absolutely shredded.
He's gorgeous.
Yeah. Sexy. Yeah.
We're talking about, I'm going to be referring to him as Jimmy. And again, we're talking about the guy who did the snake thing from earlier. That's who we're talking about, his new partner.
Yes.
Yeah, he's just a sexy dude that fills people's houses with snakes. That's
he
like
really is.
My dream guy.
As Jimmy's climbing out of the pool, CD says, looks can be deceiving, you know. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, the guy is literally in the best shape I've ever seen.
No,
but
he's actually not. That's why the looks are deceiving. He's actually a slob.
He's right. Like, yeah, looks can be deceiving. This guy's useless.
He's wearing a full body suit. Yeah.
You know this guy who has like the best rig you've ever seen?
Throw him a ball.
Yeah.
Watch this. He'll fumble that shit.
No stamina. Can't do cardio.
And then they have the most boring.
Well, can I throw something out here as well? Okay. He says looks can be deceiving, to which Cordell gives him a look up and down and says, not those looks. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I
also
felt
put
it.
Three question marks about what he was talking about.
Okay,
I think Cordell was turned on with the rest of us.
I've got.
Look, is this just a racial thing?
Is this a race thing where he doesn't like black people? So he's like, not those looks.
It was tough for me to become his mentor. I had to get over a few things, but.
There was that. And then the only other one I can come up with is that he was just like, this dude's fucking hot. No, those looks aren't deceiving. That guy's a stud.
Right, yeah. like don't let his young, handsome looks deceive you. Like he's a hard ass. He's gonna get the job done.
Yeah, but Chuck Norris is like, not those looks, baby.
What does that mean?
I'm gonna blow his back out.
He's turned on with the rest of us. Yeah, he's gonna blow his back out like melded to you.
Or maybe he's worried that he spends too much time
on his
exercising
looks
and not enough time on
the
job.
Field.
Yeah,
maybe that's it.
He's like a college football bod like that. Yeah. What, has this guy ever done some actual police work?
He tore his shoulder, right? That was his whole reason for not continuing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is the new Robin character, and they introduce him to be the. It's the hard one because we've established in this show that Walker is the best person in the world.
Yeah.
You can't fight him. You can't do anything to him, and everybody loves him. And his new mentee / partner is kind of the same.
Yeah, it's like they were trying to do like a new school, old school kind of thing. Yeah. But apart from like Jimmy knowing how to use a computer, they pretty much go about things pretty similarly.
Well, Jimmy also loves juice. In fact, he's described as a juicetarian.
Yeah.
And he offers Walker, they have the most boring conversation ever. Walker also
That's
goes.
That's what I'm saying, this shit's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Did we need a juice plot?
Yeah, Walker
did
goes.
Do we need to make up cop pools?
Yeah. At one point, Walker goes like, how's the water? And he tells him, he's like, yeah, it's like, you know, pretty good temperature, not too much chlorine. It's like, what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah.
He offers Walker some juice.
Chuck's like, I have a circus at my house. She was like, sorry, what? Do you want to see it?
he does also ask, he offers some juice to Walker and he goes, hey, want a hit?
Yeah.
Which was a very odd, it was a very odd writing I found
initial
meeting.
Well, it was
meeting.
A green juice, bro. Mm.
The whole
dreamer.
The whole, it's there's a lot of bloat.
Honestly, can I say, thank God for Jimmy. Because otherwise we would have completely lost Cassie.
Oh, I wouldn't have shown up tonight. I get this is my house, but I would not have been here.
You would have been in that bedroom over there.
Yeah, with the door holding my body against the
door. Just crying.
No.
We're talking, this dude's jacked. Like, he's not always, he's cut as shit. Like, absolutely shredded. Yeah, it's like
Fight Club cut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He shredded two pieces.
That's why Chuck Norris didn't take his shirt off.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he couldn't.
Yeah. He's like, just give me a month.
Yeah.
He saw this kid and he's like, fuck.
Season two, I'll pop the shirt.
Yeah, maybe. Just you fucking wait.
We're going to need a year between filming.
I found this thing called steroids.
So they do actually, after a bit of boring chat, they do actually sort of
after
get
the
down.
Pool and juice chat.
Yeah, yeah. After talking about pool and juice,
they have a bit of a cop dick off sort of where he's like, "I went and asked people questions." This is Cordell's approach. It's like, really? Yeah. Well, I researched into the.
I went on the computer.
Yeah,
and Cordell's. I didn't need a computer, but they get to the same point, which is that they realize that these guys who did this bank robbery potentially might have done three similar robberies recently. And then Robin says, yeah, but did you know that I did even more research than you? And I found out that they stole 12 paramedic uniforms.
He's a key tapper, you know, you can't stop that.
Now let's cut back quickly to baby. You know that while this is going on, we're getting another plot in this episode.
Because I know a lot of people right now scratch their heads, like, but who was the blind man?
Who was the blind man? Now let's cut back to just after the robbery, middle of nowhere. The two men that spent too long in the safe are getting chewed out. They've been told we had specific timings. You guys,
he's,
have fucked this
he's
up.
Really crunchy on the timing thing. He's it had to be. Exactly at this time, you didn't do that.
Now,
he's also really cool. Like multiple times they open up a car door and he's just sitting in the back with sunnies on in a cool car before he just step out and set the scene.
Now this guy looks exactly like someone who did karate in the 90s. Don't you think? Like this guy.
If he hasn't been in a Daniel LaRusso movie, I'd be shocked.
He's a karate man through and through. He's got like slicked back jet black hair, which is a real karate move. He's got a left earring. He's got an earring on the ear. He's wearing like 90s cool dude sunglasses, which like even now that there's a lot of 90s fashion, no one's wearing those sunglasses still. Mm-hmm. Like they lived and died in the 90s. And so he jumps out of the car and he's basically saying these guys, they're not invited to continue with them.
We're doing a really, really big job and now you guys can't come.
Yeah. I believe the line is, you two don't qualify. Biff, biff, biff.
Yeah.
And he throws a roundhouse kick as well to sort of set him up as, Norris
nice.
Norris dude, is going to have a roundhouse.
I got excited.
Half of this episode is setting up this guy as being a good fighter.
I couldn't wait for the fight.
There's even a bit where they're watching a fight on TV and he says, if I was in the ring, I would take them both out at once. And you're like, holy shit, we have a good fighter in this episode.
I believe it. Someone to rival Cordell.
We'll get to the fight eventually. There was another bit in this scene which I really liked where they were talking about the ongoing jobs that they have going. And one of the guys, when he's talking about, you didn't do it at the right time, he said, this is getting too spooky for me. Like, what is happening?
I really liked that because just the other day I was saying that spooky is a super underused word. So when I heard him say spooky, I was like, cool, he got the memo.
He said, this is getting too spooky for me. You're talking about timings? You're talking about getting away?
Dead cops?
Not killing police officers? Whoa, my guy. I don't know if this is what I signed up for.
Now, am I right to say that the guy that was shot was also like an explosive expert? The guy that was shot. So then they had to get a new explosive expert? Or was that just they got an explosive expert at some point?
Well, that's probably it because I think they did. No, but they didn't blow it. I don't know, honestly.
They blew out the safe in the first one because then they had the tie between the places
definitely
that they all used
it
for. No, you didn't hear it.
Definitely didn't hear a boom.
No, you didn't need to.
Right.
That is probably the setup then, they need a new C4 guy, which is sort of why we cut to, next time we see them, they're in like a sort of seedy motel.
Yeah.
And
he's got this cool move where he sits next to a light and he puts the light on the person's face.
No.
So then he is invisible to them. They can't see through the light
whatsoever.
Have
you ever had multiple lights shown on you at once?
Yeah. I once did an interview for I was like a C4 explosive guy.
Right.
And there was a guy who ate nuts in front of me a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that's what he does. He eats nuts while talking to guys. And the first guy he interviews, he's like, hey, are you good with the bombs? And the guy goes, yeah, I'm really good with the bombs. And then he goes, well, who have you worked with the bombs with? And he goes, well, I've actually worked with the Libyans with the bombs. And then he says, you're lying about working with the Libyans with the bombs, because had you worked
he
with
he said a little more aggressively
you'd be a professional.
Yeah, you'd either be dead or you wouldn't talk about it. To which he's like, okay, hey, buddy, you got me. I was just
trying to beef up my res.
We all beef up our res. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too. Like, let him go. We all put a little bit of bomb mapping in with the Libyans on our resumes.
And then this guy, and then the,
you got me the job I'm in now.
Then the main bad guy's like, you're about to learn a lesson about not lying to employers. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
The HR department comes in, just sits down with him. He goes, okay, look, that was really inappropriate.
And the fact that he's so confident that these lights have stopped him from seeing his face or any of the people's faces in the room, who, by the way, some of them are just standing around. What about the guy that took him outside and then beat him up, saw his face?
Yeah,
but then he's just like, you're lucky you're leaving this room alive, champ.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, dude, like, you're not really staying on top of your business.
They beat the shit out of this guy and send him on his merry way.
Yeah, we then cut back to the precinct, and that's when it's sort of revealed that they used C4 in the jewelry heist as well as the bank. So we're sort of getting the setup that there's going to be some explosives. You know, it's all part of the same crew.
And that's when Walker goes, hey, I've actually got a guy. He's actually a good friend of mine who owns a gun store. This is Texas. And he's like,
We're good friends.
Yeah, we're really close. I'm going to go down and we can have a chat to my gun guy. They go chat to this guy. And
he immediately threatens him.
Yeah.
With like, I know that you make weapons fully automatic. That's illegal.
Yeah. Because the guy's, he's like, do you know anything about bombs to this guy? And the guy's like, hey, if I did know anything about bombs, I know you're a cop, so I'm not talking about it.
He says the line, hey, man, I don't know nothing about that. That's illegal.
Yeah. And then Walker is just like, if you don't fucking tell me about bombs right now, I'll straight up arrest you for shit like that I'm just accusing you of. And the guy's like, hold on, okay, you know I could get killed for this, right? And Walker's like, bitch, do you think I give a fuck?
Yeah.
Tell me about your
bomb
guy.
We're old chums.
To which he gives away.
With a stroke of luck.
Yeah, it's the same bomb guy.
It's the guy that was just in the room with the shiny lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, his name's Cobalt.
Cobalt.
Yeah, and they sort of roll up on him.
Because they know exactly where he is.
Yeah, they find him instantly.
Where was he?
Just at the gun range. I think he was out back shooting at the gun range.
He's shooting at the gun range. They say, put the gun down, you know, Texas Ranger, turns around, sees Walker.
Doesn't react.
Yeah, doesn't react. Looks to the left, sees Robin / Jimmy, and immediately just starts hoofing it because of the snakes, which we find out about later.
Snakes.
Yeah.
An approach that this
Look, honestly, if someone filled my house with snakes and left all the doors, I would probably run pretty fast. If I
saw Have you ever seen Bam Margera get locked in a room with snakes?
Yes.
I imagine it would be like that.
Yes.
But an approach that this show has taken, which I really love, and a bunch of shows do this where they have like a leading man who knows kung fu, is that everyone that should have guns at the right time don't have guns and don't use them.
No.
Or just don't use them.
Well, they can't.
I saw him disarm one guy. Yeah. I think in the scene before where they're in the house, the circus about people,
the B plot, someone does pull a gun,
whips it out of his hands immediately. It's the only time that happens though. Everyone else should have a gun at all times. In this.
We've established in this one that quite a few of them have like semi-automatic weapons and stuff like that.
Semi-autos. The guys from the very start with the armored truck, they all had guns.
Yeah, but he's got roundhouse kicks, so, you know, it evens out.
And the thing is that in Texas, when a man challenges you to a fist fight, you got to take it.
So the partner basically tackles the shit out of this guy. They take him back to the precinct. They need to talk to him. Basically, this guy's got bombs, and they need to find out who is trying to get the bombs to blow up more banks. This is where we get into the whole fact where like Walker's like, why is this guy scared of you? And he's like, hey, I'm not telling you anything. Chuckle, chuckle. And you're like, no, but you're both cops, right?
Yeah, just pull up his record.
Yeah. And also like, I feel like there's a duty of care here where like if someone you've pulled up is terrified of a police officer, you kind of have to ask the guy like, hey, what the fuck did you do? To this guy.
But like Batman, you need to use fear as a tool.
Yeah.
and he respects that.
So they do some bad cop, bad cop, where they go into the room and scare this guy some more.
It's more just Cordell watching Jimmy being just kind of like impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but I really like, I think Jimmy's the best actor in the show, personally. Yeah, yeah, actually, this scene was one of my favorites just because I loved the face that Jimmy was pulling. It was so deadpan, or not even deadpan, it was like terrifying, really.
Well, I can tell you what happened to the actor.
Yeah.
He did.
Really?
Yeah, he died. He died at 66 years old.
Oh, that's not good innings.
But he was in every single episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
The big three in this were in every single episode. CD was replaced after this episode.
Oh, no.
Because he was supposed to be playing a lot older than Walker, and the actor playing CD was younger than Chuck Norris in real life.
It seemed like that his archetype was supposed to be that sort of like and even passing on Robin, it's like, hey, I'm going to pair my new mentee with my old mentee. But yeah, clearly they were just colleagues, you know, so I do kind of get that.
So they replaced him with an older man who did most of the show after that. And apparently the actor who played CD was like really wanted to keep the role and like offered to like wear prosthetics and stuff. And they were just like, bro, you weren't that good. Like we'll just get an old man. It's really easy to get old men in Hollywood. Basically they scare this guy enough where the guy starts to, he doesn't know much though, because he didn't see anyone. He just mentions the nuts on the floor, I guess.
He's like, he had this kind of boot and was eating pistachios is essentially what he says.
Yeah, that's the only useful information.
Oh, he tells him the license plate number as well. He's like, the license plate number was like CD something something something. And he's like, remember that.
You have to write it down.
What is this? Why is that happening?
It's fucking stupid. This show is stupid.
So,
Jesus Christ.
At some point he starts absolutely babbling. Not good acting, I would say, really at all. But he absolutely starts babbling out that.
He was just feeding off the energy, you know.
It was okay.
You didn't like Jimmy's acting?
It was fine. No, I'm not talking about Jimmy. I'm talking about
Did you like it? Jimmy
was great.
Yeah, thank you.
Honestly, when I first saw Jimmy in his outfit with the white hat on, I genuinely was like, man,
blushed.
This guy is hot.
This guy is hot.
I think there's one thing we can all agree on,
it's that Jimmy was fucking hot.
Yeah, he's hot and cool and did a great job as an actor.
And has access to snakes, lots and lots of snakes, which is all I want in a guy.
Which is really progressive.
Yeah.
So yeah, whilst this guy Cobalt, the snakey, is babbling, at some point he just sort of spews out that the guy must be CIA because that's the only way that he must have known about the Libyans and that sort of thing. Which initially I was like, what the hell is that about? Otherwise that is all we got. Just the boots and the pistachios and the lights.
I doubt you'd know this, Mark, but you would be the one to ask. Do you know if down the line the Libyans become like a big part of the Walker Texas Ranger storyline?
No idea.
It's just such a weird thing to throw out. Libyans.
Yeah.
Are they like prominent in Texas? Like
I think there's a big
Libyan crime family in Texas. They're hard to weasel out.
Yeah.
So yeah, we go back to the redneck dumbass bar, and they're sort of going over the plan. He also mentions that how he got onto these people was there was an ad in a mercenary magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
So they
Merc
they,
Mag, baby.
Yeah. Merc Mag for mercs only.
Merc Mag Weekly.
I gotta say, but this show.
My sister was on the front of Merc Mag magazine.
But this show does a lot of dumb shit as well because, like, he doesn't just say, like, oh, I read it in a magazine. He's like, I was at the magazine store, you know, flipping through some centerfolds. And that's like, I don't need all this extra information. This is an hour and a half. Just say you looked in the magazine.
Yeah, a bit chewy.
The plan has been set. What they're going to do now is old Jimmy's going to go undercover. He's going to organize a meeting with them to be their new C4 guy. Mm. And they're like... They to be fair,
I think he was just trying to become part of the crew, right? Because I think a little bit before this, he was like, maybe interviewing a bum guy in a dark room isn't really the right approach, seeing as there was no way to prove his credentials.
Yeah,
let's take this outside and actually see if this guy can blow some shit up.
Oh yeah, they get a new bum guy.
He looks like a nice old man clockmaker.
Yeah,
you know, just makes a bit of bombs on the side.
They get an old man bum man who builds bombs that look like
horseflies.
Ashtrays.
Ashtrays.
Like, also, these ashtrays are like the size of like a throw pillow. Yeah. Like they're insanely
huge. It's a paper mache nightmare.
I misunderstood this and I thought he was literally putting a horsefly in a box to scare him. Which, like, my dog's really scared of flies. And I was like,
oh, relatable.
Yeah, maybe they've got something in common.
But yeah, he's the way this guy explains it as well, the way he makes bombs, because he makes them like, he makes them look like a child has made an ashtray that looks like a fly.
Look.
But the ashtray is like the size of a Domino's pizza. And so it's massive.
But
and he's like, they're untraceable because there's so many of these,
right.
Which I'm like, what the fuck?
There aren't. That's a lie. Not. You're lying.
Yeah.
Dude, no one would suspect an ashtray.
Yeah.
Maybe one the size of like two footballs tied together and it like, looks like a horsefly that you painted. Did you hand paint these?
Yeah.
It's kind of cute when you think about the implications of him sitting around hand painting them.
Look, the guy definitely has been married for 40 years, has like a nice residential home and the kids have all moved out. So he needed a hobby.
But he throws the bomb, it explodes, blows up an entire house. And so they're like, holy shit.
Well, he showed he was a professional by saying in 9 seconds, it's going to blow up. And they go, wait, what the fuck? So then they throw it away.
But they're like, we got our guy. We finally got the bomb man. They also interview another guy who didn't need to be interviewed. It's like this scene where they're interviewing another guy to join the crew. And he's like talking to him and he's like, oh, I've worked with quite a few people. And then he looks at the floor and sees the pistachios. He's like, is that you, Jim Bob? And then the guy's like, it's me. And he's like, you're in the crew. I'm like, why did we just do that?
He was introducing his Jimmy.
He was playing basically a prank on his old CIA. Well, this is basically where it's confirmed.
Oh, okay. Because I was confused in this bit.
Yeah. So I think it's confirmed. He was basically playing a prank on this guy who he knew. And then the next scene immediately after, they're sort of walking in the street and they're having a bit of a chat. And that's where it's kind of confirmed that they both are sort of like ex-CIA. His friend, who's like the new assassin, the new hire who he knew, is basically, you know, asks him like, oh, I haven't seen you since, you know, you some sort of corruption thing. And basically, yeah, he confirms that he got caught, you know, just skimming off the top in his CIA missions or whatever. And that's why now he's wanting to do something like full time. He's crime full time.
Do you think Chuck just hates the CIA? Like he doesn't trust him?
I guess so. I mean,
he trusts the Texas Rangers though.
So
local law enforcement all the way.
So to set it up, we've got a bad guy who sits in a car, does a lot of karate. He's a cool guy. He's basically
so cool.
He's formed a ragtag crew. He's ex-CIA. He brings in another ex-CIA agent. He brings in a bomb guy.
Cassie, any of these guys hot?
I don't even remember them.
Okay.
He's also a pretty bad guy in that, we just kind of glossed over it, but when he biffed those earlier guys who got a bit spooked, they went to go kill those guys as well. So he kills on a dime.
Not Cobalt. Cobalt got away.
Got a lesson.
He's like, you really are lucky. Yeah. I normally just kill people for fun.
There's a bit in this. This guy has set up like this ragtag crew. He's got a whole crew. There's a scene where he's out in the middle of the street talking to his other CIA agent guy. And the guy's like, what's your plan? And he's like, how many banks are around us right now? And he looks around. He's like, there's 4 banks around us. And he's like, I'm going to rob all these banks. And he's like,
surely not at the same time.
And he's like, you won't believe it, but yes, I am. And he's like, well, that can't be done. And he's like, well, watch me. What I'm going
to
do
What if they rob 2 banks at the same time and then just go to the other ones? Yeah.
And the guy's like, you know, it might work because all 4 of these banks are next door to each other.
This so part confused me. What was the fleshed out plan?
So the plan was, I mean, they don't go through all of it now, but basically the plan as it unfolds is that there's a decoy bomb at another bank on the other side of town. That they aren't robbing.
Okay.
So that's why that bomb goes off.
So he lied.
Yeah, that bomb goes off. All the cops go over there. And then that's when they use 2 teams. And the plan is to go hit 2 banks at once. It's kind of a cool, like.
So then when the cops realize it's a decoy, they leave that bank. And by that time, they will have had time
for 2 teams to rob 2 banks, to making it the most successful bank heist of all time.
In all of Dallas.
Yeah.
Because I did not pick up on how Walker figured this out. that that was their plan.
Because he sees a picture of a spider and then no, Uncle Ray had a dream.
There's a redback spider.
Dude, it was
evening and the sun was already down. So that tips him off.
Yeah, no, it was truly about a dream. And it was a redback spider though, which is fun.
What?
No, yeah, it's nothing to do with the Uncle Ray's dream. We will get into his dream.
I thought it was.
No, it is kind of, there's like a kind of slowly revealing plot, but no, it's never quite clear. Like Walker basically just goes, like one day, what if they are trying to hit all four bags? I think it's more like a hunch.
And everyone shuts it down, rightfully. Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, the boss is like, Walker, you're crazy. It's definitely going to be this one other bank for which fucking some reason.
It's because they were getting a big shipment of money.
Yeah, they were getting like a lot of money that day.
Yeah.
This show's pretty dumb.
Where are we?
We cut back
to the bar now. Still jumping around a bit, but yeah, we cut back to the bar. Walker's, this is where he's first putting together, like, you know, maybe all these small jobs are trial runs for something way bigger. And that's when we get a bit of exposition with Jimmy/Robin about, you know, he's like, I bet you're wondering why a guy from Baltimore, you know, is in the Texas Rangers. Baltimore, yeah. I don't know.
Baltimore.
Sorry, I'm reading. Baltimore. I'm walking.
They say
here.
Melbourne, okay?
Melbourne.
This is us getting them back.
Baltimore.
So it turns out basically he loves this show called The Lone Ranger from the 50s.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting because we already know that this...
I can't stress enough that we are not going to do that, LJ. I swear to God.
No. That's too far even for me. But yeah, it was a show in the 50s. It ran for like 8 years. It was really popular. He basically says he loves that show and, you know, as someone stuck in the concrete jungle, just the freedom out there. But again, just remember... That wasn't his first career choice. He's a failed football player, so he kind of loved being a Texas Ranger too much. But I guess it was his second best choice.
Well, apparently CD found him after his failed football career, where he was sort of like, I don't know if he was looking down the bottom of a barrel or whatever, but it's just like he was in tough times. And then CD somehow found him. I guess he followed college football, maybe. Yeah. It was just like, I'm going to grab that kid.
He's walking around looking for fail for college football.
Yeah, I'm going to grab that kid from Baltimore.
See, the thing about CD... he owns a bar. He writes advice columns. I think he works in a cop pool as well. He's an ex-cop. He's a lifeguard. He's an ex-cop on the side. A mentor to many people. Mm-hmm. A college football scout. I think he coached the college team as well in Baltimore. He used to do weekends in Baltimore and then drive down to Texas.
Sometimes he'd just call in.
Yeah. And so he was the coach when this kid went down. And so he said, you know what? You've actually got potential to be a Texas Ranger. Yeah. So come on.
And he goes, I love that show. That was my favorite show when I was a kid.
That's the Lone Ranger. We're talking about real Texas
It's crazy
Rangers.
You mentioned Texas Ranger and the Lone Ranger. I actually love that shit. So I'm in.
Right.
And that's how that story came to be. Mm-hmm. And it's good that they put it in this episode.
And then, I mean, obviously, when he mentioned that they have a cop pool, he was like, really?
Yeah, because I can swim really well. I'm really good at it and I'm actually jacked.
Yeah.
So then we cut back to the bad guys. And now they're talking. They know that the Rangers are after them. Obviously, they know they already killed one. So, you know, it should be clear. But somehow they figure out that Walker specifically is after them. And they decide to...
Who's this Cordell guy?
Yeah. So he calls the bomb guy and he asks for one more bomb. And then now let's go all the way back to the trivia at the beginning of the episode where he says, one riot, one ranger?
Yeah.
I'm changing it to one horsefly, one ranger.
That's right.
Because he's going to try and blow him up with a horsefly. But that...
Look.
Because of a racist statue.
Yeah. But that, and that line also... makes no sense.
Yeah.
That made literally zero sense. Like, just
well,
say,
we needed a bad quip to rival some
the
of
the quips
Cordell's.
Are so bad what
was,
in the show.
Was the guy next to him like, wait, are you talking about that racist statue we have in town? He's like, yeah, that one that everyone knows. He's like, I guess, but like horse fly doesn't really fit though, does it?
No, but our bomb guy makes horse fly bombs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, it still does. It's still not that good to me though. You know what I mean, boss? And he's
just get it done.
Kick. Just roundhouse.
Yeah, roundhouse kick. Oh, take him out back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill him.
The reason why they did know that Walker was on their case is because we did gloss over it, but we can quickly just say it now. There was a bit of a sting situation earlier where they tried to get old Jimmy to join their crew. he's waiting to join them, and like a
but he's parked illegally. So yeah, a cop comes up,
and they're like,
"Park here."
Systemic racism, right there. Yeah. Honestly,
and then the crew are like, "Something's fishy about this. That guy's getting a ticket. Let's get out of here." They instantly start shooting at him.
Yeah, yeah. They instantly start shooting, but also they're on the road.
Yeah,
they turn into the car park that they're in to then start this chase, and then they get out of the car park again or onto the road. Yeah,
I think this scene takes the record for the worst car chase of test pilot history, because it was in total.
What was the last one that rivaled it though? I remember there was one that really got to me.
I'm not sure.
Ah, never mind. Never mind.
Because like in total there, this car chase goes for maybe a minute and a half. And I would say we had about 600 cuts. Where when someone was going around a corner, it would cut to the front of the car, cut to the side of the car, cut back to the front of the car, cut back to a different car, cut to the front of the car, cut around the side. Long shot of them going around the corner,
yep.
Cut back in, mm-hmm. Cut back out. Long shot of them going around the same corner. Bitch, they weren't doing anything interesting. They were just going around corners every now and then.
Okay.
And opening, keep in mind, they're in the central of downtown, and all sides are opening fire. Yeah. Walker's shooting, Jimmy's shooting.
Fully auto guns shooting.
Yeah, fully automatic guns. Also, Jimmy's in an unmarked, like, at least Walker has like lights and sirens that he can turn on in his truck, but Jimmy's like opening fire from like just a normal car
sped off in his vehicle, endangering a cop.
Yeah,
I will mention there's also a bit where Jimmy like totals his car, so he gets out of the car and then Walker comes by at a ute and then he runs up and jumps in the back of the ute and is like, keep going. Honestly, that bit was kind of sick.
Yeah, and then he jumped out of the car when Walker got stopped by a truck. But I remember the car chase.
What is it?
And you know, this one does beat it in terms of it being worse because it's way longer. But Angel happened to also be in a car park when they just started freaking out and just speeding away.
I remember that.
It was so bad.
And so this car chase basically ends with nothing, but they do see the people that were chasing them. They opened fire into civilians. A couple of people probably died from it, but that's okay. But that
doesn't matter.
That is how they found out, because they ran the plates. Basically, someone ran the plates and like, that's Walker's car. And so then,
Texas Rangers. It's actually a badge of honor to be struck down by a Texas Ranger fodder to them stopping the criminals.
So they know Walker's after them, and so they're like, well, we have to get rid of Walker before we do this bank heist. And so they're like, oh, we'll just send him a bomb. So they send him one of the paper mache bombs.
Such a stupid fucking scene. No, just him standing there with this goddamn horsefly in his hands going, huh.
But it's good to have hobbies, and it's great when those hobbies incorporate into your job. So I'm super into paper mache. I'm also super into bank heists.
Yep.
What can I do to incorporate these? I'm going to make, but I only make horsefly paper mache's.
Yeah.
I can turn one of them into a bomb. But I think it's sweet.
This scene is so dumb because
he just wants a hobby.
Yeah.
Walker gets to his office and he's sassy assistant. She's like, oh, there's a package for you. And he's like, who's it from? And she's like, fuck, I don't know. Like, go in and check.
Yeah. This is a police station. We just accept packages here.
And he's like,
truly, when the guy walks in and he's like, who are you looking for? And he says, Cordell Walker. And he was like, oh yeah, his desk just through there. Like, what is the security of this place?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, our most hated man on the force by far, by any margin.
His desk is right there. What if the person was going in to steal files or some shit?
And who are you, sorry? Not important. Actually, just give me that.
Yeah, I do paper mache.
So also CD has illegally opened his mail as well, because he's just hanging out.
Illegally opened his mail.
Yeah, technically. No, he's just chilling.
True.
But CD's opened his mail and he's like, oh, you thought there was food in there. And
he's just
writing his novel or column in Walker's
wherever
office.
He can, yeah.
He's always complaining about he needs a quiet place. So he chooses to go to bars and offices.
An active police station.
Police station where there's recently been a massive shootout, bank robberies, a killed cop, a circus fiasco.
find a workspace, bro.
Yeah. Go home.
There's some good.
I'm sure you're home squad.
Yeah.
There's some good bits in this scene where like they're having like a conversation, but Walker's holding this fucking hubcap in his hand and he's looking down at it and he's like, who would have sent this to me?
And you said there was no name? No attached? Name.
And it's a horsefly. Horsefly's bite. Bring.
I don't even smoke.
Yeah, he's looking at it. He's like, why would someone send me an ashtray? Everyone knows I don't smoke.
Everyone knows because I'm the most popular man in the village.
So then the phone rings. He picks it up and he cuts to the car downstairs where the bad guys are in. And they're like, and he goes, hey, this is Walker. And they go, ah, wrong number. And hang up. And then he has a couple more seconds he goes, where he's
wait
like,
wait a minute, everyone knows my phone number.
Yeah, he's like, that was weird. I definitely don't smoke. And then he's like, hold on a second. This hubcap I'm holding is a bomb. And so he throws it across the office. He jumps on CD.
I wish there was someone sitting at the desk that he threw it at. What are the fucking chances that that entire row of desks was just empty?
It explodes. It is
really lucky that they were going through some serious downsizing.
Yeah.
The fuck is going
on? A lot of people
got
fired.
You need to have a row of empty desks to throw bombs at. Like every office needs
that. The people who own those desks were killed in the shootout earlier. Yeah.
And then they didn't kill him. They didn't hurt him at all. He can't get hurt. He's immortal. Somehow the guys find out it doesn't kill him as well. Like, how do they find out?
I don't know.
I guess the news report.
There was no report.
Yeah, there was no news report about a dead ranger.
And you know that if he died, it would be 24-hour news channel of dedication.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
There'd be a month of silence.
Yeah, 100%. So once everyone was still talking, they were like, must have not got it.
Even the criminals would respect it.
Yeah. They were getting ready for their month of silence.
Yeah.
And you sit shiver.
Because the cool karate man, he's pissed. He's pissed at his like lackeys. He's like, how did you not kill him? And they're
supposed to be professionals.
And I think like one of them's like, hey, by the way, like we have to rob a bank tomorrow. Like it doesn't matter if he's dead or not. Your plan's so good that he's going to be at the other bank anyways because they probably think we're going to rob the bank where all the money's at.
Any real criminal who has a big plan, the moment a cop is killed, they'd go, fuck, it's just too hot. No way.
We got to lay low
like,
for a while.
They're all on edge. And then he's like, the day before, let's blow up half of their office building and just see how it goes. Continue with the plan? Yeah. Sure, they've got to host like 7 funerals tomorrow. We're fine.
So I feel like we're pretty much at the final bank heist.
In record time.
All we've really missed is whilst they're planning to kill Walker, which they should because Walker is at home on the case. He's watching the footage, sees the fake blind guy, sees his fake beard. Sees the black spider tattoo on his hand. And right as he does that, Uncle Ray, full Cherokee, who's, kind of his Alfred, took care of him, walks by, he sees the spider and he goes, well, watch out because I just had a dream last night where you were all alone in a desert and it became black like the spider. And it was noon and the sun was gone. Be careful, nephew.
Oh, because he had to say hello to the sun earlier.
Yeah.
And
he didn't get to say goodbye.
No,
but he also says something like the spider's black means it could kill.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
So yeah, so he just tells him about his dream. And then Walker also goes to the bank asking about a blind guy and some teller sort of tells him, yes, actually that guy was here. He was just asking a few questions. And I think that's sort of the bank that he goes to find this out is in the bank where there's all the 4 banks. So I think that's how Walker goes, this must be the real bank he's about to hit. Because he's sort of been here beforehand.
And amazingly, her follow-up question wasn't, oh, are we at risk? Are we in danger? Because that bank got hit the other week and a cop was killed. It's, you single?
Oh, yeah, she wants to fuck him so bad.
Yeah.
And he's like, actually.
And then he goes, do you know my uncle? He asks, do you know my uncle? And she says, no. And he just goes, and walks away.
So Walker has figured out they're gonna hit 4 banks at once. I believe he tries to tell his boss, the big boss, about this. And the
Walker,
boss,
you're crazy.
Yeah, you're crazy. And
it's like, when have you ever been right about these sorts of things, Walker? It's like, I don't know, every fucking week.
Yeah, look, Walker, I know you're the best. I know that you're so well known for being the best that kids, even kids know you're the best.
Oh,
and everyone
fuck.
Loves you.
But he's like, Walker, God damn it. I know that for some reason you have some sort of mystical attunement to nature and the things that be, but this time you're out.
Yeah.
But no, we got to go back to CD.
No, we did talk about this.
We touched on it.
CD.
I wish we wouldn't have to go back to this.
Guys, we've had the circus plot. We need a rodeo plot. I'm so sorry need a rodeo plot.
And I think we just forget about it.
It's a quick one. It's a quick
the rodeo
one.
Plot's the C plot. Come on.
Basically, he's like, look at those kids. No,
look at these
sad.
Three fucking
they're
kids.
They're about to set. So the scene that we talked about before with Jimmy going to go in and get an interview to be one of the guys in the heist. Yeah. They're setting this up. He's about to make the phone call in a noisy bar.
Yeah.
And Chuck's like, you're going to do the talking. This is serious, but I'm going to be right here.
Yeah.
And Sidney's like, hey, is this a bad time? It's like, it's a terrible time.
We're doing
official police business from your bar, actually. So I'm going to need you to park it. He's like, yeah, but would you look at them? And you see a bunch of children. You see three children.
Three orphans.
Yeah. Like, they're all from homeless families.
Yeah.
Don't know what that means. Entirely.
Yeah, no.
Are they orphans or is their family just out of home? I don't know what's going on in these Dallas streets. And he's like, can you go over there and just talk to them? You're their hero.
Yeah.
He's like, okay.
How do they know about a random cop?
Because he's just the most popular famous man.
Cassie, name three cops right now.
Mark's dad.
It's not a cop anymore.
They can be fictional.
Yeah.
The cop from The Leftovers.
Hell yeah.
Martin Lawrence.
Hell yeah.
We need
names. Cop in every movie. Yeah.
Oh God, what's his name in The Leftovers then?
Kevin
something. And Jake Peralta.
Jake Peralta, yeah.
I've never seen that show, so I'm done there. And
done quite a few cop shows on this podcast.
Rick Grimes, baby.
Rick Grimes.
Walking Dead,
there
best
you
there
go.
Was.
But yeah, how do these three motherfucking kids just know of a rando cop?
I don't know, it's but they're ridiculous. So stoked, especially when he tells them that he signed them up to ride a bull
in the
for charity.
Yeah. Because the way this town works is there's a bunch of kids that are homeless, right?
That's right.
Okay. And these kids won't be homeless if Walker rides the bull.
Because people in this town... They,
that was honestly the plot.
if people in this town... are going to give money.
Yeah.
They need to see a show.
They're not giving money to these three kids.
No, it's not enough motivation for these kids to not be sleeping rough. They want to see him ride a bull.
Wait,
they
hold on. Is he going to ride that bull? Yeah, no, I'll house these kids. I don't give a fuck.
I'll give you $5,000 right now.
It's mental.
I don't have any cash on me, but take this ring.
Yeah. Are you telling me Walker's going to come out of retirement and run the most dangerous bull we got? But God dang it, I'll mortgage my house right now to see that.
Did you hear? Walker, Texas is going to ride.
You know what? I hate kids, but I'll adopt them three boys right now if I'm going to see Walker ride that horse. I mean, bull.
I mean, I'm the one that orphaned them kids, but I mean, to see Walker ride that bull, shuck him up.
Bear in mind, we've already had a circus plot at this point, so I don't know why we added in the rodeo plot.
You can't
well.
Have the circus is too European, man. Yeah, we need a rodeo. Fucking Texas.
It's the rule of three. You have the fair, you have the circus, and you have the rodeo.
That's true.
Because one of the side plots has to be severe, has to be dramatic, and the other one has to be light and fun. Another side of the man.
You know what? When I hear light and fun, I think three homeless kids.
Three homeless children. Not just the homeless families.
Yeah.
They're all homeless. They're all struggling.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Get them on a bull, raise probably like 100K.
Hold on. I'm confused.
To see the man.
Because, Walker's going to ride the bull.
Yep.
But what's Jimmy doing? What's he going
to
be doing?
Oh, he's a rodeo.
He's a rodeo clown.
I get it now.
He's got
no
history.
He doesn't
know
much about this clown stuff, but it's fun.
I get it now.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me now.
Batman and Robin.
Oh.
So yeah, this is the final scene of the whole show. And again, we'll cover it now. But yeah, it ends at the rodeo, some sort of charity event for the orphans. Everyone's come because they want to see Walker. He hasn't ridden a bull for 5 years, but he's got the prosecutor there.
He's talking to his love interest.
Every single bull, he basically knows by name. To prove that he is the best.
He actually birthed them, I heard.
Yeah, one bull, he's like, that one kicks hard, but his tummy stays low. I'm like, Walker, what are you doing?
And he's like, that one over there, that's the Terminator.
And
we
then,
call him the Terminator.
Because you never know what he's going to do.
You got to be careful because if he kicks you off, he's going to put his horn through you. It's like, yeah, any bull will. Come on.
And then it's announced that, spoiler alert, time for the main event. Cordell Walker is going to ride the Terminator.
The crowd goes absolutely fucking wild. Yeah, this is why they're
here. And he's like, CD, if I make it out of this, I'm going to have you replaced as an actor.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. And then, you know, again, he nails it. What a hero. And that's how the show ends. He gets thrown off. Robin picks him up. The bull's angry. He's like, is that bull going to charge us? And we end the show in the best 90s way ever, them running away and jumping with a freeze frame.
Hell maybe. Yeah.
Big old smiles.
Freeze frame to credits.
That's how it ends.
But that's how the show ends. But we're not ending right here.
We're not ready.
I was hoping you guys forgot.
No, we're not ready.
Forgot about the bank heist, let alone the fight between the two cool karate men, Cordell versus Shade.
Two fighting styles, CIA, Texas Ranger.
Who could win? Whoever wins, we all win.
Sounds like a hell of a fight.
Walker goes, listen, I really think they're going to get these four banks. The boss is like, no, they're not, you dipshit. I'm putting all the cops on this one bank.
And none on the four.
We all need to be at this one bank. And then Walker's like, I can't even call the banks and tell them not to open because I don't have any evidence. And it's like, good point. You know, you literally have no evidence besides
your
uncle's fucking dream, mate.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Although the way these people respect him, I reckon if he called up and was like, look, my uncle had a dream and I wouldn't open today, they were like, yep, no business.
Yeah, wait, is this famed bull rider Walker Texas Ranger?
Yeah, I just took a lot of money out of this bank to pay for some homeless kids, I guess, so I can watch you ride a bull later. I'm not sure what's going on.
Honestly, we have no money left in the bank to lose, really.
It's all in the bull fund.
It's all in the charity fund.
Just a quick correction. They do actually, leave some cops at the other bank. Not as much as the first one.
Right.
But that's when the decoy goes off.
And then he's all units.
Yeah, all units, everyone leaves to go to the other bank. The only person that stays is Walker and CD has rocked up.
That's right.
CD before.
Because he says hey, this is my bank. You can't stop me from making a withdrawal.
And before they're planning out the whole thing, CD comes up and goes, I'm going to need a gas mask because they're going to use gas. And they're like, CD, listen, you're not coming. He's like, you can't stop me because it's one of my 15 jobs to do this.
Yeah.
So I have to be there.
I've given everyone love advice for the day and now I'm going to go do this.
Listen, man, my hands are cramped from riding.
Why was he in charge of the homeless kids and the bull? I've just figured that out as well. What's that also his job?
That's another side hustle.
He runs the charity rodeo.
Oh, I forgot about that. He runs the charity rodeo.
Look, he's just as accomplished as Cordell, but in different ways.
Yeah, Cordell solves crimes. He has bulls.
Yeah.
And his instincts also suck because there was no tear gas, nor did he find a gas mask.
Was that just like a nod to he's been in wars?
I guess maybe? So. Or just that he's kind of useless. I don't know. I don't know what they were trying to set up there.
He's a hero.
So while he's at the four banks, as mentioned, the bomb does go off at the decoy bank. And so all the cops are sent up there, but Walker stays. Walker's like, no, I'm probably right because I'm usually right.
Doesn't he start driving and then he has
He's sitting in his car and we hear that classic about the third or fourth time the Native American wood flute comes back in as he remembers what his Uncle Ray told him about the dream where he was all alone in a desert.
It felt inappropriate.
And he's like, shit, I gotta go it alone.
And so he gets out of the car with a pump action shotgun and he just starts, here's what I don't understand, he starts running to the bank in the middle of the street. I don't know why he's not using the footpath, but he's just running literally in the middle lane. There's traffic going in both directions, shotgun in his hand. No one seems alarmed by this.
He does this shit. They're like, oh look, there he goes again.
Like, oh, Walker's, he's about to go do it again.
Yeah.
Now, what did we mention earlier? We mentioned that some paramedic uniforms had gone missing. That's because they robbed the bank wearing them.
Mm.
It's fine.
Thanks, Mark.
Clever.
It didn't really do anything.
No, because they were in an ambulance, they could park wherever they wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I guess they don't actually nod to that or really even say it. I don't remember seeing a paramedic vehicle.
Listen, maybe. Walker runs into this bank and just starts blasting. He starts shooting anyone he can see.
Casualties here.
No,
casualties
literally. Let's set this up. So there's a bit of a gun, like an exchange outside the bank first. You know, someone just sees Walker coming, runs over, starts taking shot. CD's there. He gets shot in the knee again, just to graze this time.
Yep.
And then, Walker runs into the bank. He doesn't announce himself. They've got a room full of hostages. Mm-hmm. He just runs into this room full of hostages and just blasts a shotgun right at one of the guys and kicks off a gunfight in the middle of the bank.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, John. I don't think you went to Texas Ranger School.
I clearly didn't.
I don't think you went to Texas Ranger School, did you now? Are you a Texas Ranger?
No, I'm not. It seemed pretty reckless, though. Because I got to be honest, if I'm there, I don't know. I mean, I guess it maybe it depends on the type of person robbing the bank, but it's like if you have hostages and someone's blasting, I'm blasting hostages. I'm being like, this is the leverage, man. Like,
oh,
this
you're
is
gonna we- blast? Then I'm
yeah,
gonna
yeah.
blast.
And I'm not gonna blast it, like, you know, first shot is like if I'm holding a shotgun to someone's head and a gun goes off, I'm probably going, oh, and squeezing the trigger.
Just from panic alone.
He's blasting people. He's blasting his gun off everywhere. I think outside fucking CD. There's a weird bit where another guy, you know, the other CIA agent we've had this entire episode, he rolls down the road in like a water van.
Yeah, it's like a truck filled with water that explodes.
It's the most elaborate fucking plan ever. Ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something that Andy would cook up with Woody in his bedroom.
But I feel like the waterman gets out of the car and then CD gets him.
Yeah, CD gets him.
Doesn't CD have a line like, hi, I'm CD. No, I'm a guy, Texas Ranger.
Because the guy goes, who the hell are you anyway? Like, you wouldn't just assume the guy's a cop, like arresting you. And then he's like, I'm CD, retired Texas Ranger. Well, semi-retired.
But can I also just say, this is fucking Texas. Yeah. You go into that bank and you pull out a gun, seven guys and gals each just pulling out their own guns. Yeah, it's just surprise.
No,
you don't,
it's chaos.
You can't just pull a fucking gun in Texas.
To kind of fast play this a bit, because there's a lot of running around. There's
just
a lot
real
of
quick,
shooting.
One good one is that he in that bank where he runs in and just blasts someone in the middle of a room full of hostages, how he wins that one is that he chases the guys and they all run into the vault to get away from him. And then he just locks them in there. Like, that was a weird way for them to run. Yeah.
And
well, they need it. So we see what that is, John, is they actually needed Chuck Norris as Cordell Walker to move on from that scene.
Yeah, for sure.
So they get the bad guys, they put them in the vault, locks the vault, clever girl.
And they're all going to die in there, I assume. Yep. Kind of like the buzzard situation at the start.
Oh, yeah. No. See, because there was gas.
Yeah.
CD was right. It's just released by the bank.
Yeah. They're slowly going to
gas
suffocate.
The vault.
But you know, motherfucker, you know what this is leading to. It's leading to a lot of the bad guys getting...
Jimmy kicks some ass too in a fist fight when there's clearly it's a gunfight, but he kicks some ass with a fist and CD's like,
he does,
hey, you should have let the homeboy see you. You'd have loved it.
He dives through the air. I think it's a nod to like his football training where he launches himself.
242 hot high.
He launches himself so far that if he didn't like hit the guy, he would have died. And the guy that he did tackle did die. As again, it was another one of those moments where you can't just jump off a car at someone like for 5 meters and have them just everyone walking away from that scene.
I wish he missed. Yeah. Because then he just, oh! Yeah.
It's like, well, I guess that shoulder ain't going to be the least of your worries.
I'm glad Cordell didn't see that one.
But yeah, then again, you know, more people running out of the bank. At least this time Norris does announce himself. He at least says, halt, Texas Ranger, you're under arrest, before immediately then opening fire.
Yeah.
And then the cavalry arrives. Yeah. You know, this is when Jimmy's there. He breaks another pair of glasses.
Jimmy.
And yeah, Walker looks across an intersection and sees
this is where
this
I start
one
to get
guy.
Mad.
He sees the tattoo.
The tattoo.
From 100 meters away.
He
sees the tattoo. Don't forget about the black spider tattoo.
Now,
that was accurate.
This is what we've been leading to this whole episode. We've been setting this up this whole episode. We know Walker, Texas Ranger, kicks butt. We've seen him roundhouse kick about 6 times this episode. We have heard tales.
We've been seeing him do some gunplay too. Wow, didn't expect that.
We've heard tales of this other fighter, the guy who clearly looks like a karate man.
Confirmed ex-CIA, some of the most dangerous people on the planet.
He could kick the shit out of 2 professional fighters that he was watching on TV easily.
So we know that this shit is going to be sick. They chase each other down for a while. Eventually.
No, hold on. He sees Walker, immediately starts to run, and Walker goes, hey, to another police officer who apparently was standing right next to the guy. Walker couldn't have just been like, him, get him. He gives him his shotgun.
Yeah.
So now he's disarmed himself.
Yeah. He doesn't need it because he knew that this guy's a karate man.
He knew that he's a karate man, so therefore no weapon. Right. Yeah.
He saw the slick back hair.
Yeah.
He saw the glasses. He was like, okay, this guy does karate and also I do karate, so we're going to get this done. He chases him down.
I'm so upset.
Eventually they get to the fountain where the fight has to take place. So they're like, oh, is that the fountain? All right, let's fight. They go to fight.
It's a good location.
They go to fight and it is the most disappointing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's just like, so you're him. He's like, I'm him. Let's do it. Kicks his ass, doesn't land.
Oh my God.
He doesn't land.
The dude doesn't even get close. Like there's a time where he does like a, and the guy does like a big head kick and like Chuck Norris / Walker just like kind of like blocks it with the inside of his arm for one thing.
He catches his roundhouse kick.
I'm like,
that's a real Seagal move.
I'm like, that's never happening. Yeah. Block it with the outside, man. Yeah. That's never going to work. You can't block a kick with your bicep. It doesn't work that way. It's going to bounce into your head, but it doesn't. Every time this guy swings on him, Walker's just like pushes it off as if it there's no strength behind this guy's kicks. He kicks the absolute shit out of him.
Yeah.
It's eventually
he's so powerful. He can hold him in a weak headlock from behind and say, this is for Jimmy. And the guy's just sort of going, regretting every decision he's ever made up until this point.
Eventually he just kicks him into the fountain. The guy lands face down in the fountain and that's lights.
That's where he leaves him.
He stands on his head and that scene goes for 15 minutes of him just standing while the guy shakes below him. And the guy only shakes for like 90 seconds and he's just still.
Oh, he immediately breathed in.
He's
shut down.
Yeah, it was and a Seppuku situation.
For some reason, the Native American wood flutes are back. which was a weird choice.
And again, still feels offensive.
Yeah. Here's where I got upset. It's this thing was an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And
it was an hour and 45.
Hour and 45. And with the images of this badass, cool,
this is the conclusion.
And all the other fights were pretty lackluster. You know, I was really hoping that they'd do like a bit of a
badass.
Have a cool fight, you know, like a big end of a movie kind of kickoff. But no, it was just Chuck. Fucking Cordell.
Doing the same thing he's done five times in this episode already.
Fucking plot armor, immortal, best fighter ever.
Yeah, I don't know what the... Yeah, I guess it's I guess they're trying to set him up as like, he's so good, no one can compete. But yeah, it does not make for a compelling...
Tune in next week to watch him do it again.
Yeah. I was expecting, some like, you know, back in the day, you know, Steven Seagal, you know, Arnie, like they would have some good ass fights. Like you'd roundhouse someone, you'd catch their leg and like throw them to the ground. You know, I was expecting some of that stuff, but no.
It was weak as shit. And that's basically, you did it. You saved the day.
And the rodeo and
the rodeo happens, freeze frame. And we've done the pilot episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
We've done the hell.
And that leads us to ratings for the pilot episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. Cassie, what are you giving this one?
2. Both those points is because Jimmy was so hot.
Yeah. And for the left areola and the right areola.
For me, that would be a 3 because it's technically television. So I you get one.
Yeah.
You don't do that though, and that's fine. That's my system.
Kale, what are you giving this one?
Kind of guilty pleasure. It turned out to be a little bit... for me, with just some of the cornball shit and CD being like, look at these kids, you need to save them. that's kind of up my alley for humor. Like. So it makes me laugh. But as a show, and if I was supposed to be the demographic that would actually be like super into it, I guess I'd give it like a 4.
A 4. LJ, what are you giving this one?
Yeah, I think, I quite enjoyed it again because I do kind of like this sort of stuff. I mean, even with the kids, when he goes over to meet the kids, he goes, hey, kids. And then they immediately run away. He doesn't even have a conversation with them.
No, he goes
in a bar. The three children unaccompanied by their homeless families in a bar. And he goes, go sit down. You guys can order anything you like. And it's on Walker here.
Yay.
In a bar.
So for that. Look, it wasn't great, but it also wasn't as bad as I expected for some of the clips I'd seen of Conan, of him just like karate chopping women. So I'd probably say 6.
What the fuck?
I'm feeling pretty good about a 4. I didn't like this that much. I think as a pilot episode, it did too much, far too much. I mean, I guess it was a TV movie, so they had the time to fill it out. But like, I definitely didn't need circus plot. I think drop that straight away.
Yeah.
I think we don't need to find out that he's Batman in the first episode. Like, he's clearly Batman.
But he had to trauma dump on the child.
I mean, I liked it when he trauma dumped on the child. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I kind of feel like we could have done that over a couple episodes.
Would you have felt better about that B plot if there was just no mention of a circus?
I mean, it wasn't the circus. It was more.
You got to admit, your blood got hot when you saw that guy juggle.
I saw the juggler. I was like, not again.
Never again.
So I didn't need that. I also didn't need CD's plot. I didn't need a lot of the plots in this episode. I think if we had streamlined this and we got this down to 45 minutes, I think we have a kick-ass 45 minutes of television. I think we can do a lot with this, but I don't think we needed an hour 45. And I think there was a lot of fluff in this. Like, there was a lot of bits in this that, like, I think we've done a better job at keeping this succinct than this show was. Like, there was a lot of boring shit.
There's so
in
much
this.
Fluff.
For once, you shouldn't watch the show instead.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know what? It's a good B plot. How about some retaliation from Mexico?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, I don't know.
For sure. And I mean, like, maybe in the first episode, we don't need a B plot. You're doing so much to introduce characters. And, like, to be honest, you do a lot. Like, your partner gets killed. You get a new partner. There's three bank heists in this episode. Yeah. There's explosions.
They spent a lot of time on characters that will never be seen again.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we could have done this in a way that's, like, quick, to the point, and that kind of shows. And also, the character is garbage. What are we doing? Let him get hit once. He doesn't get hit this entire episode. He doesn't take a single hit in this whole episode. And he fights like 19 guys in it, doesn't get hit once.
It was in his contract.
He's not even fazed by the bomb.
Yeah,
no
true.
Shrapnel or anything, like no cuts, no bruises, no scratches. Like, a fucking bomb went off. I don't care if you're behind a desk.
Yeah.
Like, that's the impact. You're going to feel something of it.
Just one counterpoint to that. It might have been hard for him as an actor to put himself in the mindset of Walker Texas Rangers, because as Chuck Norris, he is impervious to physical harm.
Right.
So maybe that was sort of what you were feeling there.
It's like, open your hand, put a tissue in the palm of your hand, and now try to close your hand without crushing the tissue. It's impossible, and that's how powerful he is.
Yeah.
When he's trying to pull punches to tissues, it's what do you do?
You know, we've tackled a big one this week. I think Walker Texas Rangers seems like one.
It's
that
a landmark.
We should have done a while ago. It's a landmark. It was long. Might be the longest pilot we've done on this. Thank you so much for coming on, LJ, and talking Tange. Talking Texas with us.
Talking Tange.
That's like Texas Range put in one word.
Baltimore.
Yeah, talk Baltimore.
I thought
Tange.
You had a stroke.
No, Talking Texas with us. Love to have you back on anytime. Thank you for the theme song. If you're listening at home, and there's nowhere else you could be listening right now. Everyone stay indoors. The bombs are going to drop soon. you know, write in, send us a recommendation at Test Pilot
Podcast.
How
horrific it would be if you were right.
I know.
When this show comes out.
But you know what? If the bombs are going off and someone's like, I'm going to listen to Test Pilot, like, we've done our job.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's our entire job.
Just a bit of solace.
That's the worst day in that guy's life. And he's like, you know what? I just want to hear my friends talk for a little bit. I just want to forget about the fact that the nuclear holocaust is coming. And I want to hear them talk about Walker Texas Ranger. I need to hear this before the radiation sickness takes
me. Everyone's asking, where's Chuck? Where's Chuck?
Yeah. Right into testpilotpodcast@gmail.com with recommendations. If you have the highest episode, you might win a car. If you have the lowest episode, you might win a boat. I mean,
jet ski, whatever. What do you want? We'll give it to you.
We're going to end this episode in the same way we end every single episode that we've ever done, and that's by saying,
get along, you little pussy ass bitches.